I'm very proud of kind of the technology and the team and our providers. The technology just works for the first time for the treatment of cellulite.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Grant Stevens, and I'm here in beautiful Manhattan Beach in the studios of Technology of Beauty. If you like the Technology of Beauty, you're going to love the Aesthetic Innovation Summit, or AIS. This May 2024, the day before the Aesthetic Society meeting, we're hosting the 5th annual Aesthetic Innovation Summit. It doesn't matter if you're in industry or finance or clinician, you will love the Aesthetic Innovation Summit. We are going to highlight a number of different new products. We're going to have the ever-popular Shark Tank. We're going to talk about beauty below the belt, emerging technologies, and all sorts of fun topics. So, if you want to register, go to attendais.com. That's attendais.com and register for the meeting May 1, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Technology of Beauty, where I have the opportunity to interview the movers and shakers of the beauty business. And today is no exception. Today we have Carol Van Hove, who is actually the CEO of Revel and the chairperson or chairwoman of the board of Sientra. And she's a very dear friend of mine. And she's come all the way here from Nashville and to be on the show. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. It's long overdue, and I can't wait for everyone to get to know you better. So let's start with this. Where were you born?
I was born in Antwerp, Belgium. So we say it's the heart of Europe. So all the best and all the worst of European cultures. Yeah.
Okay. So you grew up in Belgium.
Grew up in Belgium.
When did you come to the States?
I came to the States in 1996. I knew you were going to ask that. So 1996, got on a plane. I think I was 17 at the time. So let's do the math. And ended up in New York and never went back to Belgium. So.
Did you go to school here?
I started at the University of Antwerp, and then I went to the University of Central Florida, where I got a scholarship for journalism, and then I ended up in New York again for my first job, and the rest is history.
So you graduated with a degree in journalism?
Yeah.
Okay, and then you went up to New York, yeah. And what was your first job?
My first job was in crisis management.
Whoa.
So my whole career has been very serendipitous, but I ended up at a crisis consulting firm in New York City and was randomly placed in a healthcare department. And so I knew nothing about the U.S. healthcare system. I had to look up what the FDA stood for, but I was placed under sort of the mentorship of a woman who was an expat from the U.K., and she ran all of Johnson & Johnson's crisis management. And so she took me under her wings, and that was my first job. And then at one day we get a call from a pure play specialty pharma company called Allergan that was sort of in the early stages of launching this very novel solution for eternal youth, and knew how sensitive that was going to be. And that was my introduction to Allergan.
And what was that? Was that Botox?
That was Botox.
What year was that?
That was the year 2000.
So when you said working in crisis management, was it working for Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, no.
So was it a private?
It was a consulting firm, okay. And Johnson & Johnson was their big client. So
I see. Yeah. And then along came?
And then along came Allergan, calling into the crisis management firm saying, we think we're sitting on a blockbuster drug that has amazing potential to create this whole new space. Because remember, you know, there was lotions and potions and surgery and nothing in between. And our good friend Tom Albright obviously was sort of spearheading that whole launch. But they also knew how sensitive it was going to be, right? So nature's most potent medicine, an injectable, you had to go see a derm or a plastic. And so there was a lot of sensitivities and controversies that would come with that. And so they were, I think, sensible to bring in a crisis management firm to really help think through all of those.
The launch?
This was right before, yeah.
And so Dave Pyatt.
David Pyatt and the board
the
called us in,
that.
And that was my introduction to the whole Allergan board and to the management team. And then from there, of course, the team had this grand vision that it wasn't going to stop at Botox, right? That they would build this whole medical aesthetics sort of market. And they were already looking for the adjacent products, right? So a toxin might lead to the need for a dermal filler and so on. And that's where the acquisition of Inamit came in. And so Allergan had their eyes set on Inamit. But of course, that would bring some more controversial products, including breast implants.
Right.
And so eventually they asked me to come in-house and essentially built the crisis management division. Which
within Allergan.
Within Allergan.
Did you move to Irvine?
I did move to Irvine.
What year was this?
This was, 2004, I want to say, from memory.
Wow.
So yeah, so Belgium to New York, New York to California, and then stayed at Allergan for 20 years.
Did you really? What were your positions in Allergan?
A variety of commercial roles, right? So I went from crisis management, corporate affairs, PR, to them saying, look, we think you have maybe some commercial potential. So I took on a variety of different roles, and then I was shipped overseas because at that point in time, Botox launch had, Tom had done a brilliant job, and of course they were building out the portfolio, but they also knew it was a global opportunity, right? And so Allergan was fairly small, modest size, OUS, and we obviously saw the promise of Asia Pac, and specifically China and Latin America and Europe and so on. And so they said, why don't you go to our Marlow office out of London and help build out the OUS or the international business? And so I went to London for a good 8 or 9 years and helped enter into China and build out Europe and Latin America and so on.
Did you work with David Endicott?
No, David Endicott was back in the eye care business at that time. So he was back U.S. eye care. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But you were in London for 7 years.
Yeah, or eight
seven,
years.
Eight
yeah.
years? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so then you had to come home.
And then I had to go home. How did I get home? Yes. So then, of course, Allergan got acquired by activists. Mm-hmm. And there was a new chapter that was obviously starting about growth transformation. And at that point in time, I think I was pregnant with my second or third baby. And my husband's a fireman in Los Angeles. So it was a little challenging to go back and forth between LA and London. And so moved back to California. And then at that point in time, I started to get the itch for some more entrepreneurship again. And wanted to really kind of dip my toes into the startup world. So I went into startup. I left Allergan / activist. Went into the startup world. Which was a really unique experience. Cradle to Grave story was the first one. And then I went, did quite a bit of work for private equity for a good 2 years.
As a consultant?
As a consultant. You know, wanted to really sharpen sort of my acumen there. And then after that, I got called by a professor of medicine at Stanford by the name of Josh McHour. Who said, I'm Josh, and I have the Holy Grail in cellulite. And my first response was like, sure you do. And then here we are.
Yeah. I remember, and Josh has been on the program, and Tom's been on the program,
yeah.
And David Pye's been
on
the program.
Everybody.
So all the people that you have worked with and for.
Made
and
a big imprint on my career, yeah.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And obviously, I've worked with Josh since we first started developing that wonderful product.
Yeah.
So there we are. That's and then you joined Revel as the leader, the CEO of Revel, correct?
Yeah. So Josh called, and a little bit about sort of the incubator, which you had not told me anything about yet. But essentially, Josh is, you know, he wears a couple of different hats. So Josh McHour, professor of medicine at Stanford. But 2 decades ago, he started a company called Exploramed. And Exploramed is an incubator that comes up with really disruptive medtech, with very cool medical devices. And Josh started his career in R&D at Pfizer, in fact, and realized early on that maybe the path to developing really disruption should be a whole lot more disciplined than what he was observing on the pharma side. And so he said, I'm going to build my own company, and I'm going to follow this very rigid path to designing products that are really going to disrupt, meaning I'm going to design them based on what the market really needs. And the idea is so simple, but it is actually brilliant. So his process was, first, I'm going to really understand what do patients and providers really want? What's their wish list for a new technology for a specific disease? And then I'm going to try to design specifically to meet that criteria. And so Josh, in 2018, because he had worked in spaces like cardiology, urology, ENT, he started to broaden the lens and looked at aesthetics. And first he looked at dermatology, a couple of different things there, and then sort of was constantly pointed towards cellulite, like you should try to solve that. Nobody's ever solved that before. And then he said, let's do it. He brought a group of engineers together and some very smart advisors, including yourself, for a couple of years. And you know, you all went in stealth mode for a couple of years to really understand what is sort of the physiology, what is the complex underlying anatomy of cellulite, and why has nobody been able to nail it yet, right? And so for a couple of years, people just had their blinders on, used some seed money, and had a couple of observations right along the way that made them understand this is why nothing has worked before, mm-hmm. and started to design our little baby, our device called Avely. And so at the time that Josh called me, this was 2020 or late 2019, he had done all the heavy work with you. You guys had done lots of cadaver labs, right? So mm-hmm. I've heard all the stories, and they were ready to sort of unleash it and essentially take the technology out of the incubator. And then the process is you build a company and you find a CEO that has subject expertise. And then you go through the clinical stage of trying to get FDA approval. And then you try to commercialize it. And so he called me, he said, I think we're there. I think we have the Holy Grail. And I'd like, you know, to have a conversation and see if this could be a fit. And so we met at JP Morgan, and the rest is history.
And what year did you join Revel?
The beginning of 2020, because at that point, obviously, they had to round up capital, right, to start the clinical study to get the FDA clearance. And that was the beginning of 2020. And the day that I signed on the dotted line, on the news, the whole country turned bright red, and there was COVID. So, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you start selling the product, Avely?
We started selling Avely in late Q2 2022 at ABAM, in fact,
okay.
You know, where you are heading to next. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Late 2022, right.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's cut. Where are the headquarters for Avely? Or for Revel,
yeah.
Excuse me.
So our head office is in Mountain View, San Francisco, where we have all of our brilliant engineers. We have clinical engineers. We have mechanical engineers. We have a small G&A function there. We have our quality team there. We have our operations team there, even though we have a contract manufacturer offshore. But we have an amazing ops team that also builds product in-house. And so it's a small group of about 20, 25 people in San Francisco. And then the rest of our team, which is now about, you know, 45 people large, are all over the United States. So
how many salespeople do you have now?
So now we have just expanded. So we are currently at 20 territories.
And what would your estimate be? How many offices are you in, or how many procedures you do per month?
We're at about 450 practices.
Okay.
So with our Avely cellulite device, we're now in about 450 practices, largely plastic surgery practices, some derm practices, where the provider is either the MD or the mid-level provider. So we have lots of high-volume practices where the mid-level provider is the operator. We have about 4,500 cases under our belt. So while we're the new kid on the block, I think we've spent the last couple of years really proving our clinical worth and making sure. I love what Fuad Nahai told us early on, right? You're only as good as your last case. And I think we as manufacturers need to own that responsibility too. So the last few years in commercialization, we've made sure that each and every case would be a great case and a reproducible case with a very strong result. So 4,500 cases, about 450 practices, and very high patient satisfaction rating.
And what would you think the patient satisfaction is, or when you measure that, what do you think?
I think if you look at Real Self, right, that's kind of the worth it rating. That's already at 87%, which, you know, I think I'm very proud of kind of the technology and the team and our providers. The technology just works for the first time for the treatment of cellulite, buttock and thigh.
So cellulite is universal in women.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard 85%, 90%, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's even the ones that don't have it probably think they have it.
Yeah.
So it's a common thing. I don't even like to think of it as a disease, but it is a phenomenon. People want smoother buttocks and thighs and legs and so forth. But there's two parts to this. It's effectiveness or efficacy, but also duration. Yeah. So we have 87%, they're happy. Tell me about duration.
Yeah. So in terms of the we did our studies out to 1 year. So, and at 1 year, the results really kind of were durable and sustainable. But I want to first maybe describe why Avelle works, right? And why is it a one-time, a single in-office procedure? And so when you all started to look at what causes cellulite, right? Because to your point, the first challenge is what is cellulite? Mm-hmm. Because when you look at the lower extremities of a woman, you see some fat pockets, right? Some focal adiposity, you see some laxity or loose skin, and then there is the cellulite. And Michael Kaminer and you defined that well for me early on. You said, consider cellulite any irregularity on the surface of the skin that is caused by these tethering bands underneath it, what we call fibrous bands. And so when we started to do all of our cadaver work to really understand why has no one been able to solve for cellulite, right? What you all observed is that while cellulite is a multifactorial issue, meaning the dermis is going to thin, the fat cells will become larger, and then you have these bands, sort of these fibrous bands, that tension, they essentially they shrink or they stiffen and they put tension on the skin. And ultimately, what the literature shows is that of all those factors, the septa, these bands, are the most misunderstood, and that they're never these single bands that are right underneath that dimple pulling it down. But what you all did observe is that it's a whole web. It's a complicated 3D honeycomb structure of fibrous bands, right, that are tethering the skin. And so the aha moment was, if it's not a single band that is right underneath that dimple, then really to effectively release it and ease the tension on the skin, the best solution is to design an instrument that can go underneath the skin and identify where is that whole web of septa that's been tensioning the skin, causing the dimple, and release it, but in a verifiable way. And that sort of led to design of Avelle, which is a precision instrument. It's a handheld disposable. There's no capital equipment. There's no plugins. There's no exchangeable parts. You mark the dimples, you make a small entry in the bottom of the buttock region. It's a 3.5 millimeter sort of entry. We anesthetize the pathway as the patient's laying prone on just a reclining kind of chair. You anesthetize, you numb the pathway that you're going to tunnel through with the device. And then you essentially enter into that superficial subdermal plane with the device, and you're guided by a light that transilluminates through the skin. And the idea is that just with the device, you place yourself nicely in sort of the marked dimple, and it has a deployable hook at the tip of the distal end. And all you're doing is essentially as a provider is gently pulling back to see, can I recreate the dimple? Can I find the septa, right, that have been tensioning the skin? You release it with our device, and then you go back and you repeat those steps until you have essentially released that entire network. And that's obviously your verification before you move on to the next dimple. Patient's awake. This is just local anesthesia. We use a limited dilute formulation of lidocaine. So the patient is wide awake, very comfortable. Many of them are filming their own procedures because they find it so cool. Mm-hmm. And that is essentially what makes Avelle a one-time treatment.
Okay. If they don't get all the dimples, they can come in and do it again. It's one time ideally, yeah, if they get them all.
Yeah.
But there must be some women that say, hey, I like it, and yeah, I come back in and get some more done.
Yeah, that's right. So some women might have, you know, unfortunately, none of us women are spared of cellulite. Like you said, 90% of us women have cellulite. Buttock, thigh region, those are the areas where it presents itself. Some of us have 5 dimples we're very bothered by. Some of us have 10. Others have 20, 30, 40, 50. And so to your point that if you want to get, let's just say you have dimples of about 100 in your buttock and your thigh region, you may want to do it in 2 treatment sessions. But 99.9% of our cases are all with one treatment.
Can a person follow up the release with an injection of fat or Sculptra or other
Yeah. Fillers.
I think you bring up a good point, right? So when we're looking at the lower extremities, you want to make sure that you understand there are different issues sometimes, right? So you can have the fat, you can have loose skin, you can have cellulite. And so when a woman has true cellulite and wants to get the OVLE procedure, we train our providers to also look for what else is around it, right? So when you smooth that skin, for example, but she doesn't have a lot of volume, right, in her buttock or so, then she may want to add a biostimulator at the end of that to sort of add some volume, or maybe some fat grafting to sort of, once you smooth out the dimples, to give it a little bit more contour. So in our practices, we're seeing a lot of wonderful lower body rejuvenation packages emerge, right? Where they come in, you get your cellulite treated, but at the same time, you also get a skin tightening modality to really then tighten that loose skin around it. And then you might say, and I want a little bit of extra volume, either through a BBL or some fat grafting, or non-surgically by adding a biostimulator. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of lower body packages that are really taking off very nicely, addressing all those distinct issues.
Do you have a favorite biostimulator, or are the practices gravitating to one versus another?
It depends on the practice. There are practices that are all in on Sculptra. There are practices that really love Radius. It's really up to the provider.
Okay. Who's the ideal candidate for OVLE? I know somebody with, I get it that they have to have cellulite, of course, yeah. A woman. But in terms of their body habitus or age?
Not age specific. So obviously in terms of what I think are ideal candidates are obviously healthy BMIs. Women that have very discrete dimples, and they don't have to be circular dimples. They can be linear. They can be irregular in shape. Women that obviously don't have excessive laxity, where, you know, the real question is, what are you most bothered by? Is it the laxity element or is it the cellulite element? But we treat the full spectrum of cellulite severity, from mild dimples, meaning mild depth of dimples, to a few dimples, to a very deep dimpling, or, you know, excessive dimpling, 100 dimples across the buttock as well as the thigh area.
Do you treat wavy cellulite?
So I think that we can treat any sort of depression that has an edge, because that is sort of our indicator that it is caused by a band underneath it.
Okay.
But some women, especially in the front of the thigh, which is not cellulite, it's sort of that waviness because you've got fat herniation and a thinning dermis, or in the back of the thigh too. If you've got that waviness but it doesn't have an edge to it, then I think that again is sort of fat herniation, a thinning dermis, and I would say energy-based devices are great for that.
Okay. When you say energy-based devices, do you have any favorites you want to recommend?
You know, not favorites myself, right? I can't speak to that, but I would say that modalities that we see often in our practices are Morpheus 8, you see a soft wave, a profound, a genius, you know, those are sort of the tools that some practices use.
Uh-huh. And it sounds like you're advocating for combined therapies.
Absolutely. I think as a woman, right, when you think about what has been solved in the last couple of decades, you know, I think facial rejuvenation has been beautifully solved, right? We go into our practice, we get our toxin, we get our fillers, we get professional skincare, laser resurfacing, and I think that's pretty well solved. If we then descend down to the rest of the body, I think breasts and the composite of implants and fats are also beautiful solutions. Tummy tucks are on the rise, and liposuction of the midriff is on the rise, which I think is also fantastic for women. But then what about below the waist, right? So think sort of below the waist, the fat, the laxity, and the cellulite. And so I'm extremely passionate that that's the next wave, sort of the next area that really needs to be solved for, because... And especially now with the whole rise of sort of the weight loss drugs and the GLP-1 agonists, right? We're losing all this weight and we want to wear these beautiful, tight, light colored leggings. But essentially it still shows kind of your cellulite through that and the loose skin. And so women really want a solution for all of that. And so I think multimodality packages, meaning an OVLE plus a biostimulator plus an energy-based device to tighten it, or surgically combine it with liposuction and fat grafting, Renuvion, a J-plasma, I think are wonderful combinations that I hope will really kind of rise significantly.
And how is Revel doing in Avalee? We're not publicly traded.
We're not publicly traded. We're venture backed. We have two phenomenal investors that obviously saw the potential early on that came in on what we call a Series A raise. So the initial round of capital to get us through the clinical stages and the regulatory stages and the commercial stage. And so we focused the last few years on just really making sure, like I said, every case was a great case, and the training, the clinical training, right? Making sure that the technology really fits multiple providers' hands, and that we had a great training program. And I think we've done all of that. And now we're scaling. So I think we figured out who are great sales representatives for a technology like this, who's a great practice for us to be launching a cellulite technology in, what's the path to same-store sales, really kind of, you know, how do we make sure that there's a good volume of cases to grow into for a practice. And so I think we've got all those answers, and so now it's scaling. And so the exciting part is we're putting more feet on the ground. So we're now in 25 territories by the end of this year. Uh-huh. And that will be our continued plan.
So in terms of the physicians watching this, or business owners, med spas and so forth, what's the initial capital?
There's no capital. So it's a single disposable device. We do sell in packs of 10, and we sell them about $1,000 per device. So generally, it's an upfront kind of cost of $10,000, which essentially equals 10 devices. And I think that's warranted, right? Because not every practice is an early adopter practice. And so it takes a lot, right, of the provider, and it takes a lot of the company. And so that's why we sell in packs of 10. But it's roughly $1,000 per device.
Okay. So there's not a big barrier to entry. And you do the education. You train the person.
Yeah.
You used a term earlier today. I think you said mid-level provider.
Yeah.
I think that's the term you used. Could you explain to the audience just what you mean by that?
Yeah. So we, when we launched, right, so if we look at across the universe of aesthetic providers, you have obviously your dermatologist, you have our plastic surgeons, and then you have sort of, you know, the mid-level providers and so on. And because of all the skepticism in cellulite and all the cynicism, right, of everything that had failed before us, our strategy was, let's launch and let's approach plastic surgeons because the idea was you work with scalpels and you're tough critics. And so we knew our technology worked, but we wanted the toughest judges to really believe and see it for themselves. So we launched in the plastic surgery channel. But what we discovered along the way is that Avalee is a dual revenue proposition for the practice. On the one hand, you can take it into the OR and add it to an existing body case, right? So let's just say you're doing a liposuction case of the lower legs, and you're combining that maybe with some fat grafting and some J plasma, but you're leaving the cellulite on the table. So now Avalee is a great addition to that surgical body case. But non-surgically, we're also a standalone treatment for cellulite, right? That you can bolt other non-surgical solutions onto. And so gradually we found that in our plastic surgery practices, providers that had exceptional hands for this technology were nurse practitioners, physician assistants, that were doing other procedures already on the non-surgical side.
Okay.
And many of those had a real interest in body treatments too. And so this is where we've seen significant uptake, and that's been very exciting to see.
So NPs and PAs, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any states where RNs can do it?
Yeah, so actually we checked across all 50 states for any type of mid-level provider. So we did a state statute assessment to confirm what mid-level providers can do a minimally invasive procedure like Avalee. Mm-hmm. And so we checked into RNs, PAs, and NPs. And then we checked for what component can they do, right? Because can they do the marking, which is technically a diagnosis? Can they do the application of the local anesthesia? Mm-hmm. And can they do the Avalee treatment? And so across all 50 states, by and large, those mid-level providers can do all three steps. Now, obviously, it's as usual, right? It's under sort of with medical supervision, and obviously the practice has to apply their own medical judgment. But from a state statute perspective, by and large, most 50 states allow for mid-level providers to do this.
Okay. Is the company considering acquisition of any other products, or is Revell going to stay just to Avoli?
Yeah, right now.
Can you even share that with me?
Well, I would say that, you know, cellulite is such a big opportunity, right? So, sure. 60 million women, US alone, that have cellulite. And even if we windle that all the way down to see who can afford it, who's so bothered to do something about it, we're still talking about 6 million women. And so, our opportunity with Avoli as a single product is substantial. And so, all of our capital, all of our focus, is obviously fully dedicated to the commercialization of our technology. But like we talked about, right? So it's not just the issue of cellulite in the lower extremities. Mm. It's fat. It's obviously skin laxity. And a body aesthetics company doesn't exist yet. And so we have an amazing team of engineers that their wheels are spinning. They have very clever ideas. So down the line, you know, we're certainly kind of broadening our views on what else and have some exciting ideas.
Well, that's exciting. I can't wait to see what comes down the pipe.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned earlier, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up, at least momentarily, you're also the chairwoman of the board of Sientra.
Yes, a very proud chairwoman of the board of directors of Sientra. Obviously, for those of you that might not have heard of Sientra, but obviously, Sientra, highest quality breast implants dedicated to board-certified plastic surgery, and also a very exciting portfolio of diverse products for plastic surgeons. So just launched a new fat grafting technology called Viality, which I think is going to be a game changer also. So
that's wonderful. Yeah, great company, great implants.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah.
And I love that you only sell to board-certified plastic surgeons.
Yeah, so it has an incredible team behind it.
So you're living in Nashville now, right?
I do. I live in Nashville.
Do you still come out to Southern California much?
I do. So I'm married to a firefighter of 20 years who's here in L.A. So he's at a station here up in L.A. So he flies back and forth. And obviously, we're commercial, so we sell across the country. So I do make it out here quite a bit. But the family is in Nashville. I've got three small girls, and they're loving country life.
I love it. So you've been in aesthetics basically since you came to the States after the crisis management. And you've had a chance to look at so many technologies over the years. Mm. And your experience is very broad. You're a female CEO and chairwoman. Mm-hmm. What do you see in the future of aesthetics? If you pulled out your crystal ball and you look 3 to 5 years from now, what are we going to be looking at?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And Josh, one of our founders, and we took the stage at another conference and talked about this very same subject. I think a couple of things. When we started Revell, the whole mission is that we're essentially going to focus on smarter aesthetic solutions. And the definition of smarter for me, at least both as a woman and the CEO of this company, is that it needs to go towards treatments that produce real visible results for women worth paying for and for providers that are actually reliable and reproducible. I think those themes are going to become very important because consumers demand it. And so I think when I look into the future, I think the demands and the bar will continue to rise, right, in terms of what consumers want and what practices are going to need in terms of economics. So I think there are some pain points that people are experiencing, right, with sort of, you know, big capital equipment and obviously the cost that incurs and the ongoing disposables and also the time and the patience it requires of women to keep doing multiple treatment sessions to get to a good result. Having said that, I think there's always going to be a great place for it. And there's some skin tightening modalities that I think are just phenomenal. But when you think about the future, I think body, like I said, is going to be the next frontier. Women are really looking for to solve for sort of big areas like cellulite, like laxity, like fat. And there's obviously some exciting, you know, movement already happening in that area. But I think that everybody's going to have to come to the table now with product developments and innovation that I think delivers, that I think delivers fast, and that I think is worth paying for. So I think the lens that both women as well as providers are going to apply is going to get a whole lot more critical.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So more sophisticated consumers.
Yeah.
Wanting efficacy and duration.
Yeah. Dollars need to be spent wisely, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think the market is going to continue to be a little wonky. And therefore, you want to spend your cash on things that really work. And I think also that's going to bring about, I think, more movement towards surgery, quite honestly. While I think that obviously we would all prefer to have completely non-invasive procedures, it's been amazing, right, to see how liposuction has become the number one volume procedure, right, mm-hmm. of body procedures. We would never have imagined that, you know, not even 5 years ago. And I think women are starting to sort of grasp that for other results, a different level of result, I have to ladder up in sort of the treatments that I'll consider.
Absolutely, indeed. Yeah. Well, it's been absolutely delightful to have you out here on the show, finally, at long
finally.
Last.
Thanks for being so patient.
Well, thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Are you going back to Nashville right away?
I am. I'm going to go back to Nashville. Got a busy schedule, so.
I bet. And three beautiful young girls. And a wonderful husband.
Sass pants. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, thank you. Have a safe journey back. And I want to thank all of you for joining me again on the Technology of Beauty, where today we got a chance to interview one of the movers and shakers of the beauty business, who's talking to us about beauty below the belt. Take care. We'll see you every Tuesday. See ya.